Amen. Jesus paid it all. Amen, church. Let's all stand and say that aloud. Jesus paid it all. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Come on. Let's make a joyful noise in the house of God today. Imagine this. Imagine Jesus only paid the deposit and he asked you to make installments. Amen. We serve a great God. Let's praise the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. We have to praise the name of Jesus. And if you don't know him, I pray today you'll come to know him. And if you don't know him and you're watching online, you are not miles away. You're not a million miles away. You are not a million miles away. You are one step away. The enemy wants you to believe you are a million miles away. You're not. You're not. Hey, guys, let's give some praise for our housekeeping team. Amen. They've been working so hard. They've been working so hard. Next week is Reconnect Sunday. We're back in connection groups, okay? We're back in connection groups. Dan Beard, Glenn Best, Joel, Ashley DeWitt, they've been working so hard. So in the hallways, you see our team that's busy preparing this facility for you. Please tell them, hey, thank you so much. And if those of you are watching online, we welcome you next week. Thank you. May take your seats. We want to have a great time today in the house of God. A great time today in the house of God. You know, in this pandemic, there's a lot of struggles that we go through. A lot of struggles that we go through. And, you know, we get irritable very quickly. We get frustrated. Okay, the amens will come, okay, as I go. Let's start again. We get irritable really quickly. Okay, we get frustrated really quickly. And, so there's a lot of things we're going to talk about today. Keep the amens coming because we need to hear these things as we live for Jesus. I'm talking from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 today. And if you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll read from verse number 11 and 12, and then we'll also read verse number 20 and 21. Now, Paul is writing to young Timothy. Timothy is a young man, and he is the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Ephesus. In the South, we'll say, bless his heart, all right? And so young Timothy is going through various challenges in the church of Ephesus. If you read the book of Ephesians, you'll read some of the challenges, and one of those challenges is unity and the body of Christ. And so the church is going through various challenges. Paul, after his first imprisonment, pens this letter to Timothy, but not also to Timothy, he also asked Timothy to read this letter to the church. And if you look at the book of 1 Timothy, there's a lot of guidance. A lot of guidance, you know, how do you get leaders, deacons, and overseers, and how you keep the purity of the gospel. But the central theme throughout the book of 1 Timothy is godliness. God-centered godliness. Now, if you want to be godly, you cannot be godly and leave out the living God. You are ungodly. The Bible is teaching us here in 1 Timothy is not talking about a moralistic, this book is not a moralistic manual. This book does not teach us to be those who are good to be better. This book teaches us those of us who are dead, we need to become alive. We call that transformation. And so Paul is not wanting Timothy to be good and to be better. He wants Timothy to follow God. And if you follow God with all your heart, you'll become godly. We need godliness in our culture today. In the times that we're living, there's not a more urgent time for us, for you and I, to understand who Jesus is and how we can live our best lives for Jesus. For Jesus. Last week, Pastor was speaking. He talked about the days when the dark is getting darker, right? But also the light is getting brighter. Whenever darkness arises, Jesus shines bright. And guess what? He chooses to use you and I to shine bright the gospel of Jesus Christ so we can stand for truth. So this book is very, very important for us as we study and very, very, in this time in our culture, Christ-centered godliness is a central theme for each person who follows Jesus Christ. It's a lifelong pursuit of becoming more and more like Jesus. And Paul is writing to young Timothy. And I see there's a lot of youngsters in this service today. And maybe you are thinking, when I'm young, why are they teaching me all this truth? Will I ever need it in my life? And some of the parents and grandparents are here. Bring your kids, bring your grandkids, and next week we want to fill all the preschool up, and we need more volunteers because we want to teach them the truth. And when you grow up knowing the truth, you will know you can lean on that truth. Me growing up in primary school, that's what we call it, primary school, elementary school, I thought, why are they teaching me math? I don't need to know how to add and subtract and multiply. I mean, apparently I need to, all right? And so maybe you are seated here today, you're thinking, why do I need to understand all this truth? When will I ever need it? You need truth every day. You need to live on the truth, you need to lean on the truth, you need to trust the truth. You know Karate Kid? You know the movie Karate Kid in the 80s? Yeah, that made it to South Africa. You know Mr. Miyagi? Mr. Miyagi is well known in that movie. In fact, he's more known than young Daniel. All right? So Daniel got beat up, and he wants to learn karate, and he meets Mr. Miyagi. And what does Mr. Miyagi do? Teach him how to wax the cars. Wax on, wax off. All right? And Daniel said, I want to learn karate. Next day, Daniel shows up again. This is how you paint the fence. Up, down, up, down. Poor Daniel, he's all bruised in his face. He's painting all day. The next day he comes. Mr. Miyagi, I want to learn karate. Okay, let me teach you now how to sand the floors. And so this way and that way, right? And so what happens? If you didn't watch the movie, go and watch it. But what happens? When the time of battle comes, when he's in the battle ring, guess what? Hey, wax on, wax off. Doesn't look too bad, right? How do you think he got his stance? You paint up, you paint down. And you may be coming to church and thinking, when will I ever need this in my life? If you don't have this, the enemy will beat you up and you don't even know you're getting beat up. So we have multiple generations. We have 6 generations in our church. Some of you have some truth to deposit in the next generation. Aren't you glad that when you stand and look at all these young preachers rising up within us? Carson, when you're seeing all these kids rise amongst us, it's the investment that you are making so that these youngsters can grow up. So be a Mr. Miyagi for our youngsters. That's what Paul was to Timothy. He taught him the hard truth because he knew in growing up you need the truth for you to be shining a bright light of the gospel in Jesus Christ. I know we have 2 UWF football players here today. Are they here somewhere? Okay? I can't miss them. They're here somewhere. Here we go. I knew you guys look like football players. All right. In the first service, we had a baseball player. He got saved. He got baptized in the first service. Glad that you guys are here. Glad you guys are here. The only way you're going to shine bright the gospel of Jesus Christ in your football team and in college is understanding the word of God. Shine bright the gospel, men. Stand firm in your faith and live for Jesus. Paul is writing to Timothy, and you and I need to hear this word today. He's talking about transformation. And so as I was reading my Bible, my study Bible, it's teaching me about Christ-centered godliness. If you want to be godly, you got to be Christ-centered. If you want to excuse Jesus Christ from your life, you're not godly. I got news for you. You're not godly. Because what we have today in our culture, we have this. If all you have is a decision for Christ and not a delight in Christ, let me use a southern term, you ain't got Christ. That's what John Piper said. I want to give credit to that. If all you have is a decision for Christ and you have no delight in Christ, if you got no joy in Christ, if you got no trust in Christ, if you got no satisfaction in Christ, you don't know Christ. You have walked the aisle, but you have no joy in trusting Him. You don't know Christ. Because knowing Christ is just not a decision. It's more of a delight. I delight in your word, O God. I delight in the praises when I come to worship you. I delight in who you are. I praise you for who you are. I thank you that you paid it all. I thank you that you died for me. That's more than a decision. That is delight. So Christ-centered godliness comes straight from the Word of God. And I was reading my study Bible. I found an outline by John MacArthur. John MacArthur, Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, going through a tough time, whether to close his church or not, but he's keeping his church open. This is his outline. So the marks of a Christ-centered Christ follower, the marks of a true man of God, listen to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. Great, great words. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. I love when I see the word fight in the Bible. Because, you know what, Jesus already won, and so I'm always fighting from a point of victory. So whenever the word fight, I'm like, yes, Jesus, do it again. I love the word, because I like a battle. Oh, I like it, because Jesus paid it all. You and I fight from a point of victory. So he's saying, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So what are some of the marks of a Christ-centered man of God? What are some of the marks? There's four I want to remind us today. And I pray as you take some notes, there's some notes coming up on the screen. Please take notes in this culture how you can be standing as a Christ follower. Number one, the scripture teaches us in verse number 11, O man of God, O Timothy, number one, if you want to have a mark, you're on a Christ-centeredness, these are some of the things what you must be known for. Now, I don't know what you're known for, but Paul is reminding Timothy, these are the four marks. If you're following Jesus Christ, what you must be known for. Number one in verse number 11, what you flee from. What you flee from. You must be a runner. You must run away from everything that brings disrepute to the name of Jesus. You must run away from all ungodly chatter. You must run away. You must flee from it. You must flee from every form of temptation. Run away from it. In this context, Paul is teaching Timothy, run away from all the myth and ungodliness. Run away from bad doctrine. Run away from covetousness. Run away from the love of money. Run away from that. Because if you run towards it, it'll destroy your testimony. Run away from adultery. Run away from fornication. Run away from all ungodliness. Run in the opposite direction. So he's teaching us, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. What is he talking about? He's talking about emptiness that the world gives you. Flee from it. Empty promises that the world gives you. Flee from it. And he's talking about all the challenges in the book of 1 Timothy. He's saying all the challenges you are having in the church. Run away from everything that brings the name of Jesus down. Run away from it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 22. This is what scripture reminds us. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart. Flee youth. Run away from youthful lusts. Run away from these things because the enemy has all these things as a trap to bring you down. Run from it. The pornography site, run away from it. Temptations, run away from it. Lying and cheating, run away from it. Ungodliness, run away from it. Joseph was a runner. Did you see Joseph just said Potiphar's wife, well, I'm sorry, and he took a gentle walk away? No. He ran the fastest 100-meter dash there was. Because let me tell you, for every running away you have someone to run to. His name is Jesus. You cannot find any satisfaction outside of Jesus. You cannot find any joy outside of Jesus. And all these ungodly things that we hear today, run away from them and run to the sweet arms of Jesus. That's where you're going to get deliverance. That's where you're going to get joy. And that's where you're going to be satisfied. His name is Jesus. If you want a theology that you agree with everything, you're not following Jesus. So don't get involved in all these, you know, things that so easily entangles you. Run. Run away from those groups. Run away. Because you know, without a willing audience, foolish talk dies. Without a willing audience, foolish talk dies. Listen to this, what I'm saying today. In this season that we're going through, there's something called a pandemic fatigue. A pandemic fatigue. It's that inner weariness that you and I are going through. We just don't understand why I sleep more or I eat more. This pandemic has caused a lot of imbalances, all right? And so there's a lot of pandemic fatigue. You are tired of many things. And this pandemic fatigue causes fear, causes anxiety. UCLA put out a great article. This pandemic fatigue causes loneliness. And you know, when you are lonely, you think evil things. When you are lonely, you think things are not honoring God. There's lack of accountability in this time. It's called a pandemic fatigue. You're also struggling with hopelessness. Because guess what? When you are fatigued, when you're all alone, you're in a corner and you think things that's not glorifying God. Am I right? Hey, how many of you also have decision fatigue? Decision fatigue. You know, you used to get irritated. It takes you about 15, 20 minutes. Now, like 5 minutes, done. How many of you? How many of you are honest enough to say you get irritable really quickly? I mean, since when going to the grocery store became a board meeting in your home? Everyone vote aye. Come on. Then you go to the grocery store. You don't know whether to wear a mask or don't know. You can walk in that aisle, can't walk in that aisle. And you go home and you forget the peanut butter. And you're like, why in the world? And then you and your wife not talking. And the kids seeing like you guys are not happy. Guess what? The dog does not even want to have dinner. It's decision fatigue. It's pandemic fatigue. It's real. It's an inner weariness, this tiredness, this cloud is just sitting over us. And let me remind you, it's a great time to lose your cool. And you're going to justify it. The Bible teaches us, flee from all those unwholesome conversations. Don't go get yourselves entangled in conversations that do not please God. Because if that conversation has an opinion and you go share your opinion, tomorrow the opinion has changed. So you're not the hero after all. There's a lot of conversations going on right now that's affecting your home. It's affecting your relationships. It's affecting the people you hang out with. Why? You get involved too easily with unwholesome talk. And so Paul is telling Timothy, do not get caught up in all this babble. Rather, train yourself to be godly. You and I have too much time right now to get caught in all these unnecessary conversations. Flee from it. Flee from it. Because without a willing audience, foolish talk dies. Since when you're choosing a restaurant becomes an argument? So where should we go? Well, I chose last week. That's the most stressful conversation today. So where are you going to eat today? Well, I chose last week. No, I chose last week. And when you went there, it was a 45-minute wait. And remember, you got stubborn. Remember that? Yeah, that was my decision. I caused that. So men, keep quiet. It's good for you. It's good therapy. Destiny said amen. Guys, flee from everything that is so immoral in this world. Be a runner, but run in the opposite direction. Run away from temptation. Run away. You don't have to be, your innocent children went to school, don't have to come home to a disgruntled marriage. Because of this pandemic fatigue sitting on us. So Paul reminds Timothy, do not, flee from these things. Be a runner. Look at the next verse. Is the next part of verse number 11. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Guess what? When you run away from something, you run towards someone. You run away from something, but you run towards someone. His name is Jesus. Do you know these traits? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, these are not luxury. These are essential when you come to know Jesus. It's about you acting on those. So God did not give me extra patience and gave you less patience. No, I'm acting on mine more and you acting on yours less. So he says, you know what, run away from everything that so brings you down, brings the church down, brings your testimony down, and run towards Jesus, who is righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Be a follower. The first one, when you flee, you get the word fugitive. Be a fugitive. Run relentlessly and don't look back. But when you run to the arms of Jesus, man, you're going to see the change in your marriage. You're going to see the change in your workplace. You're going to see the change in your family. You're going to see your attitude changed at Walmart. Why? You are running to Jesus. We are running in every other direction but to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I like to add to the Bible, blessed are the flexible, right? You got to be flexible. I can't add to the word of God. So that's what scripture is reminding us. That's what Paul is telling young Timothy. I believe Timothy is going through a hard time in First Baptist Church of Ephesus. He's saying, run to Jesus. Take all your problems to Jesus. Because listen to this, it's so axiomatic. Where godliness, the gospel. Where gospel, there godliness. Where godliness, that's where the gospel. And where the gospel, that's where godliness. The both are blended to each other. So if you want to be in gospel community, find a group, like a connection group next week. Come on, hang out, learn from one another. You don't want to be in a group that tears you down. You want to be in a group that builds you up. A community that doubles your joy and divides your pain. That's the community you want to be. Follow after these traits. So the first mark of a Christ-centered Christ follower, the first mark of a man of God, you've got to flee from. You've got to be a runner. Number two, you've got to be a follower. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. And following Jesus is a great joy. It's a great joy to follow Jesus. When you know that, you know, you are in right standing with your Maker. When you are in right standing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a joy to live for Jesus. So don't just have a decision about Jesus. Have a delight in Jesus. Have a delight in Jesus. Number three. Number one, you flee from, you follow after. And number three A is what you fight for. I love the word fight, as I said. Whenever it's in the Bible, Jesus, do it again. And that's what he says. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold. The word take hold is get a grip of. Get a grip of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you were made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul tells Timothy, grip, take a grip of the benefits of your salvation. Grip on it. Hold on to it. Fight for it. Like an athlete. Or a soldier, like an athlete, you're agonizing, you're breaking a sweat. It's uncomfortable, but you're standing for your team so that your team can have a chance to win. Just like that, guys, just like that. Stand firm in Jesus. Don't stand on sinking sand. Stand on a firm foundation. Fight for your faith. Stand firm. Stand firm. You know what's sad? D.L. Moody said it best. This is what's sad. Our greatest fear should not be failure, but of succeeding of something that doesn't really matter. Oh, you and I are in a fight. We are fighting every day. Are you fighting the right fight? Are you fighting for your marriage? Are you fighting, young person, for your purity? Are you fighting for your deliverance? Are you fighting against, are you fighting for sobriety? Are you fighting against sin? Or are you taking all your arguments or all your energy and fighting an argument that doesn't really matter? Or are you taking all your energy and putting it to be somewhere successful that doesn't really matter in the kingdom of God? D.L. Moody said it, as I said, if you... Our greatest fear should be not of failure, but succeeding of something that doesn't really matter at all. Fight the good fight of the faith. Stand for the things that honors God. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up in your classroom for Jesus. Stand up in your workplace for Jesus. It's when you stand up, the church as a testimony. The gospel as an opportunity. So don't fight a fight that doesn't really matter. Fight the fight that really matters. Fight the fight of good faith. Fight. I never knew we'd be in a day we have these challenges that we're having today. I mean, really? Will the church be open or closed? Did you ever think we'll ever have that conversation? Fight the good fight. Because the battlefield, my friends, is also our mission field. Our battlefield, the mission field. Stand up. Don't get caught up for a stupid argument in your workplace. Don't get caught up to have a stupid argument at home. That doesn't really matter. But stand up and fight for what really matters. Can I have someone say amen? Let's stand up for Jesus. Let's stand up for Jesus. And that's what Paul is telling young Timothy. There's many things you can stand up for, Timothy. Stand up for the truth. That Jesus is the Son of God. That he came to die so that you and I, if we believe and confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And we will spend eternity with Jesus. That's the truth. The word says it. That's the truth because the word says it. Get a grip. Get a grip. Get a grip. It's all about Christ-centered godliness. It goes on. Number four. The first one is what you flee from. Everything that's ungodly and everything that's empty. Number two, everything that's full, you follow after. Follow after Jesus. And number three is what you fight for. Be a fighter for your faith. Stand for your faith. Wherever you are, stand for your faith. In the school, stand for your faith. Number four is what you're faithful to. What you're faithful to. Listen to what the scripture teaches us in verse number 13 and 14. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You look at John chapter 18. John chapter 18, Jesus and Pilate is having this conversation. And Pilate is asking him, are you the king? Are you the king? And then Pilate said to him, so are you king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. For what? To what? To bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. You and I have to be faithful to the truth. Stand up for the truth. The truth is Jesus loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. That's the truth. The truth is that Jesus still saves. The truth is Jesus still heals marriages. The truth is Jesus still adopts us into his family. That's the truth. The truth is that you can still be forgiven. That's the truth. Stand on the truth. Because when you feel yourself to be utterly unworthy, you hit yourself against the truth. It's when you come to the place where when you feel yourself to be utterly unworthy, you have hit the truth. That's what Spurgeon said, what the truth is. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. If you want to be set apart for truth. Be faithful to the truth. The truth is the word of God. That's a great commandment. Stand. So in all this pandemic fatigue that we're going through and decision fatigue that we're going through, flee from everything that so easily entangles you. Flee from it. Don't get into unwholesome talk and arguments and babbling. Just flee from it. People got their own philosophies and theories of what's happening right now. No, no, go to Jesus. He'll give you the guidance. Flee from unwholesome talk. Your home will change. The temperature in your home will change. And go towards God. Get your family together. Pray. Seek God together. And then you fight the good fight of your faith. Teach your kids when you go to school, this is who Jesus is, and you stand with who Jesus is. And be faithful to. Be faithful to. The church of Jesus Christ is God's plan A. There is no plan B. And if you and I, there's unreached people group in this world, about 2 billion, yes, with a B, that never hear the name Jesus. Right now, if you and I are not faithful to the truth, they will never hear the gospel. That's right. If you and I are walking away from the truth, they will not have an opportunity to hear the gospel. It's our responsibility to stand up for who Jesus is and what he has done for us and that he's coming back. He promised us. And God is no man that he should lie. That's the promises of God. Church of Jesus Christ, let us be that plan A that Jesus wants us to be in Pensacola and beyond. That we will not stand, you know, with feet that are wobbling on the truth of God. We will stand firm because we believe who Jesus is, and Jesus is already victorious. He's mighty to save. And later on in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 20, Paul, I like these words. Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Guard the deposit entrusted to you. Look at what he says. Avoid the irreverent babble. How many of you this week alone got caught up with irreverent babble? Got caught up in conversations that had no place to be in that conversation. And then you open your mouth and you got engulfed in this conversation. Your temperature went up. You became frustrated. You went home and you know what happens. Jesus is enough. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So he's talking about Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Don't worry about all those stuff. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. He says, don't entertain it. Because the enemy wants to turn your head. Don't entertain it. Jesus is enough. We have multiple generations here today. Jesus is enough. He says, oh, Timothy, listen to these words. Not as many youngsters here with us, and if you're watching online, you remember the faithfulness of your grandmother Lois and the faithfulness of your mother Eunice that's now deposited into you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4 and following. You remember that? Guys, let's invite people to come be a part of our community. Let's invest in them. Teach them how to know who Jesus is. Let's inspire them to go make a difference in the world today. Amen? You know, how many of you remember what this is? Oh, yeah, you got it. How many of you remember what this is? Yeah? How many of you remember dressing up like this? You remember dressing up like this? Yeah? My. Here we go, buddy. Andre Crouch. Some people asked on Facebook, is Andre Crouch joining us today in church? No, I'm sorry. He's joining Jesus this morning, okay? You remember the song that he used to play? How many of you remember this? Voila! I want to remind you of the song that you sang when you were growing up. It's the same song you need to sing today. So this is my hobby, and I love hanging out, listening to this kind of music. See, this culture has changed. I talk to church planters every day. They said, so what's the new strategy? There is no new strategy for this world. There is no silver bullet. There is no skinny jeans pastor. No. It's Jesus. His name is Jesus. And a lot of times we don't understand. We don't understand what we're getting involved in. And I want to invite you to listen to something. Give me some volume. You turn it up. You remember this? Let's turn it up. We're going to church today, brother. Hey, let me ask you. This fashion has changed. Music players have changed. Did Jesus change? Let's stand up and praise Jesus. Let's listen to these words. Let's stand up for Jesus. Jesus is the answer for this world today. You can be going through various trials. You'll be going through every anxiety. You can be going to worry about your job loss. Jesus is the answer for this world today. So don't get caught up with any conversations that leave Jesus out of the picture. The virus did not catch Jesus by surprise. He certainly caught the church, but did not catch Jesus. I'm asking you today, if you want to know Jesus, you're not millions and millions of miles away. You are one step away. And the enemy wants you to think of yourself so sinful and disgusting that you're so far away from Jesus. But Jesus is the answer for this world today. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the answer for this world today. Let's praise King Jesus. If you want to have a conversation about Jesus, please come on. We want to have the conversation with you. We have the Next Steps tables open up. I want you to know, Jesus is the answer for your home today. Jesus is the answer for your deliverance. He's the answer for your marriage. He's the answer for your work. He's the answer for the economy. He's the answer for this country. He's the hope of the world. His name is Jesus. Now go now and carry the good name of Jesus. God bless you. Go now and live for Jesus.